Well, it's been an amazing service so far. I'm thankful for all our visitors today. Thank you for, I know if you come to a new church, sometimes you don't know the songs, and sometimes it's a little hard to get engaged, but we are happy to have you here, and we're happy that we could have a chance to pray with Pam and your family today. Just want to take a few minutes this morning to talk about our covenant with God. Like it's been mentioned multiple times this morning already, it's a new year. May says that for her it's just another day. It's just she doesn't get too much of a lift from the new year. But for me, I get just a little bit of lift, right? A little bit of hope for the new year. So it's always, you know, doesn't last too long usually because, you know, your circumstances don't really change. But, you know, you just get a little bit of, you know, like your birthday or something, right? So I had quite a battle to get to this place this morning. Last night I had an argument with my husband. Now, I know that maybe you don't want to know that about me, that I have arguments with my husband, but I know that it's a reality. And it was not one of those reasonable arguments, you know, where you each present your thoughts and the other person listens and then responds, you know, gently and caringly, and you're able to come to some sort of resolution. It wasn't one of those. It was one of those ugly ones where nobody listens and everybody raises their voice and you can't really hear the other person because you're so upset and there's no resolution. You just walk away upset, and I went up to my room and he stayed downstairs, and my sons were hopefully oblivious because they don't need to be involved in that kind of stuff. And no, we did not follow the biblical guidelines of resolving it before we went to bed. We went to bed, and I struggled with it all night, right? All evening and all night. And I thought to myself, so why do I do this again? And, you know, I just was just brushed off a little bit of that New Year's, you know, glitter off. And it feels in the moment super discouraging. But I know, because I've been married almost 24 years now, that like many, many, many times before, we'll eventually have that kind of cleansing conversation where I say I'm sorry and he says he's sorry and we hug it out, you know, with a little kiss or whatever, right? And so, thankfully, that's what happened this morning, right? I'm sorry, hug, God bless you, go on your day. But what makes a difference for me is that covenant relationship that I have with my husband, right? I have this agreement with him that we got married before God, we are going to stick together, and we're going to work things out, right? So that covenant, that promise, that peace right in the middle helps me when I'm in that place of kind of despair, discouragement, feeling like, and trying to work through it. So today, I thought we could talk a little bit about our covenant with God. Because if we have a covenant with God, if we have this agreement with God, then we can work through and travel through a lot of wilderness and a lot of dark places and a lot of difficult places. So a covenant is, and it's not really a word that we use every day, right? So a covenant is an agreement between God and his people. Okay? Or we've also made it agreement between two people, right? Like a marriage covenant. So there's lots of examples in the Bible where God makes promises to people like Noah. So you remember what the covenant was with Noah, God's covenant with Noah after the flood and the rainbow, right? That he would never destroy the earth again the same way. And you remember maybe the covenant with Abraham, when God called Abraham to leave his homeland and to go to the promised land, and he promised Abraham that he was going to have a son. Well, that took a long time in coming, right? And, you know, Abraham didn't have that son until he was old and gray. But the promise did come true, and it was a covenant that God had with Abraham that got him through a lot of difficult times, even though he made some mistakes as well. And then there's the covenant with Moses, which we sometimes fit down to the Ten Commandments, was the covenant of the law, right? Where when people sinned, then the priest would make a sacrifice, and the sacrifice was supposed to cover the sins, and those sins were forgiven. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about the new covenant that Jesus is offering to us, the new covenant that was made possible through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. So we're going to read a little bit in Hebrews chapter 8. And Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 said, "For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said," and now these verses come from Jeremiah, "the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts." Okay, so this is the covenant. This is the promise. This is the agreement that God is offering to each of us, is that God will put his laws, his promises on in our minds and write them on our hearts. So they're going to be deep within us. They're going to be something that we can carry with us all the time. And the verses continue to say, "And I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me." So that's the offer that God is putting out for us, invitation today, that you can all know me, right? They talk about this, there's this saying, right, that God does not have any grandchildren, right? God does not have any stepchildren. God does not have any, he does have adopted children, but he doesn't have any children that are not specifically part of who he is. So in other words, this is something between you and God. This is an agreement that you make, each person between you and God. No one else can make it for you. And the verses continue to say, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. He says, 'This covenant I will make with them after that time. I will put my laws on their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. The sin and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary.'" One time, Noel Santiago, I don't know if you know him, but he's one of my coworkers from the conference, and he shared this image with us at Norristown New Life. So I was going to ask you to just, if you're this kind of person, if not, you can just keep your eyes open. But if you're the kind of person who likes to close your eyes and visualize a little bit, I just invite you to close your eyes and visualize this. Imagine that you are going up the steps into this great courthouse. Now I imagine these great big pillars, right? These big steps and big doors to go in. And you're walking into the courthouse, you go through the big doors, and you start walking down the hallway. And there's, you know, offices on the side. But you see ahead of you two more really big, ornate doors. And when you come to the doors, the doors open. And inside, it looks like a courtroom, like the one that you see on TV with the judge's place up front, and there's two tables on the side. And you go and you sit on the table where the defense is, right? Because you are coming there today because you have sin in your life. You have done things that are not pleasing to God. So you come and you sit down on the defense side, and on the other side is the prosecuting attorney. In this case, we also know this prosecuting attorney as the enemy, as Satan, and he is arguing before God the judge and saying to God, this person is guilty. They have done things that are not correct before your eyes. And you hang your head because you know that that is true. It is true that even in my argument last night with my husband, even though I felt justified and I felt right, that I did not love, I did not show patience and kindness to my husband. I know that I did not handle that correctly. I know that I'm wrong. So you stand there at the defense table, and the enemy is pointing out to you, see, God, she's not as good as she thought she was, and she did not show love to her husband, and she did not do the right thing. And God's listening, and he's nodding, and you know it. You're guilty. I'm guilty. And then God pronounces his judgment, and he says, yes, she is guilty. And then Jesus steps in the right hand of God, and he says, she is guilty, but she is also free, because I've already paid for that which she has done. And inside of you, inside of me, there's a freedom, there's a release, that Jesus already paid the price for my sin. Any sin that I have done, any sin that I will do in the future, I can accept that I'm guilty, I can ask for God's forgiveness, and I can be forgiven. The debt has already been paid. If you had your eyes closed, you can open them. Hebrews 10 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for God who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day is approaching. So my invitation today, God's invitation today, is to covenant, right? To come into agreement with God that we are going to walk in freedom, that we're going to walk in love and in peace. The promise is that we are welcome, right? It says that we have confidence to enter the most holy place. We have confidence to enter that courtroom. We have confidence to enter the presence of God, knowing that we are covered by the blood of Christ. God wants to meet with us, right? God wants us to come to him. I spend so much time sometimes feeling guilty and feeling upset about things I've done when all God wants is just for me to come, right? You know, like a kid, right, who breaks a lamp or something, and they spend so much time, like, stressed out about it, like, what's my dad going to say? What's my mom going to say? And they just, like, maybe they think that they hope that maybe they won't notice, or they hide it in a, you know, closet downstairs. And when the child comes to their parents say, thank you for being honest with me, right? And maybe there's a consequence, but the consequences are not nearly as bad as all the guilt and all the fear that that child has experienced before coming. Let's covenant today, because God has opened this new and living way to meet with him. Let's covenant today. Let's be in agreement today. Let's draw near to God. Today, Pam, you and your family came to draw near to God with a special request. And God is so happy that you put that trust in him. And God is so happy that you chose to come to church to come into God's presence together with us today. Come with a sincere heart. Come with the full assurance that faith brings. Come and confess and accept the forgiveness that's offered. Don't carry that sin and pain with you. Come and be cleansed. Come so that you can hold on to the hope. Come because you know God is faithful. In the story about my husband and I know my husband is faithful to my marriage. I know that he is faithful to working things out for me. And so when I get into that bad spot with him, I know that I can trust that he is faithful. And so much more is God faithful. Let's come together. Let's come and agree that we can help each other towards love and good deeds. Let's come and agree that we can meet together and encourage one another. Let's come and agree and remember that Jesus is coming back. So the invitation this morning is to make an agreement with God. Now, maybe you've never made an agreement with God before. You're just like, well, what does that entail exactly? To make an agreement with God is to simply speak to God as if God was your friend. You know what, Mary? I just want to agree with you that we're going to support each other and encourage one another. Yeah. You good with that?
I'm good with that.
All right. God, I just want to agree with you this morning that I'm going to trust you, that I'm going to do my very best to follow Jesus, and I'm going to trust the Spirit's work in my life. That's all. That's it. There's no magic words. There's no, if you don't say the words in the right order, like God rejects that. It doesn't work like that. God is ready and willing and able to be in relationship with us. And maybe you've already been in agreement with God, and you've already been in covenant with God for years and years and years and years. So then this morning, let's just do a little vow renewal with God, right? It's like you can have a moment, a New Year's moment, right? A little glittery moment with God. And just say, you know, God, there's a couple things that I need to work on this year, and I just want to recommit myself to you. I just want to recommit myself to being part of the body of Christ. I want to recommit myself to loving others and caring for others. That's what we can do this morning if we've been following Christ for many, many years. I want to honor you. I want to serve you. And our agreement with God covers every part of our lives, right? We don't just offer, like, Sunday mornings to God, right? It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 24/7, all the time. Like, that's how God works. You can't make an agreement with God for all the time except when the Eagles are playing. right? So every time. So we have a little time. It's 11:15. I like to leave a little time for a response. You know, when one person gets up and speaks for 20 minutes or so, we miss some things, right? So maybe you have some things that I said this morning that you do disagree with, or some things you'd like to add, or some things that the Spirit nudged you about. So let's just take 5 minutes or so, and let's just flesh out the story a little bit. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to this theme of covenant with God, this theme of agreeing to make an agreement with God? Got something to share back there?
It's great to see that you're normal.
Oh. That's right. Is there anything that you would like to agree especially with God this morning to try to do? Kim shared this morning already, right? She's making a new agreement with God to express gratitude, right?